are pouring cheap you. Father, as we magnify your name, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that are pouring out. Even through your word, let your word illuminate us. Let us have understanding of your word, O Lord, and grant us the grace to obey your word in the name of Jesus. Lord, come against every spirit of distraction. We ask you, Lord, shall be a wonderful time in your presence. Speak through me, O Lord, as your oracle. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about spiritual stewardship. Spiritual stewardship. Stewardship, as we know generally, has to do with managing what belongs to other people. In the general use of the word steward, means you are a manager. You are just like Joseph was a manager to Potiphar in his household. Yes, he was a steward. He was faithful, and the Lord blessed him and blessed the master's household. He prospered, and the master prospered. Amen. So when there is a good steward, you know, it brings prosperity to the owner of the business as well. So in spiritual stewardship, we have to recognize, one, that God owns us. Amen. He owns you and he owns me. Not only just me, but everything that I have belongs to him. Even my children, praise God. So what really happened is that what I have, the children that I have, God has only given me the grace to be a caretaker. A caregiver is like a manager. Caretaker is like a manager. And so we are stewards of what God has given us. Psalm 24 verse 1, what does it say? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Everything, the whole wide world, everything that dwells in the whole world, the kings, the properties, the lands, skyscrapers, whatever you think, mass invasion, everything. God owns all. Amen. And this is important for us to know that we are just stewards of what God has given us to take care of. A steward manages something that belongs to somebody else. The Lord created everything for his own pleasure. In Revelation 4 verse 11, we are told that God created everything. He created everything. Why did he create everything, including you? For his own pleasure. Revelation 4 verse 11. Praise God. Colossians 1, 15 to 16 also says the same thing. That the Lord has created everything for his own pleasure. So I should give God pleasure because he created me for his own pleasure. So I don't have to give myself pleasure absolutely when it does not give God pleasure. That's the implication of me being a steward of what God has given me. Christ has delegated us, his children, to be co-laborers with him in his vineyard, to help him manage his vineyard. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. So we are co-laborers with God. And that's a wonderful privilege. Praise God. God who created us owns us and everything he has endowed us with. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, we're told, ye are not your own. Ye have been bought with a price. What price did Jesus pay for me? His precious blood. And we are totally accountable unto God. Please let us sink down in stewardship. Everything you have, your bank accounts, your beauty, your properties, everything, no exception, belongs to God. So when we talk about giving to God, even in terms of money and all that, we're only giving out of what he has. We're only just managing what he has blessed us with. And we give back to him and to fellow brothers and sisters to help them in time of need. And that's still serving God. Every man has received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So, as good stewards, because there are bad stewards and there are good stewards. I want to be a good steward of God, and we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. There is nothing that we have that God has not given to us. There is this man in the Bible, the rich young fool, who got a lot of money, you know, and it was harvest time for him. And all he knew was to say, oh, my soul, relax. I've gotten me all this money. I'm thinking of even how to build more warehouses, storehouses, etc., etc. It's just about I, me. In spiritual stewardship, we don't do that. Everything is by the grace of God. I am whom I am by the grace of God. You are who you are by the grace of God. Once the grace of God is not there, oh my God, whatever wealth or acquisition that you have is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Look at that man in the Bible. I don't have to read it, but you know the story. How the man was so self-centered. I never gave glory to God. And God took his soul that very night. He did not give glory to God. And that should teach us a lesson. Whatever we have now, whatever we are going to have, whatever endowment, spiritual talents, treasures, no mini finances, spiritual gifts, other gifts, even our health, even our relationships, even our children, all belong to God. We should give God praise for them all. Amen. For our children, some may find it difficult to say, oh, so even my children belongs to God? Of course. Let's read Psalm 139, verse 13 and verse 16. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Praise God. If you read these scriptures in one of these translations, especially modern English, you'll be surprised. God details your life. Everything you're going to do is like every day, God journalizes your life. Even ahead, before you even pen anything down, he knows the end from the beginning. So he knows everything about you before we ever born in our mother's womb. Before your mother ever thought about you or even giving birth to you, God foresaw you, he ordained you. And if you read Jeremiah chapter 1, also tells you about that. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, God was telling Jeremiah that before he was formed in his mother's womb, God knew him. God ordained him. And God sent him to the nations. Think about that. And then think about yourself. That you are not an accident. There are some people who are born out of wedlock and they think, oh, I'm born out of wedlock, and so I'm very unfortunate. Don't regard it. Don't belittle yourself. Your mother may have made a mistake, but you are not a mistake. Because God has a plan for you. Everybody knows that comes to this world. God has a master plan. He has a blueprint for our lives. All we need to do is to discover him early and start to fulfill purpose. That's it. it's not about me. It's not about my power. There's one song, my Lord will say, it's not because of my wisdom that I'm saved. It's not because of my strength. It's not because of anything I know to do, but Christ saved me and you. Praise God. Yes. Now, what are the things that God has given us for which we should be accountable and for which we should manage to his praise and glory and for kingdom expansion? Number one, time. We'll talk more about that later. Time, talents, treasures, then spiritual gifts. The other gifts, as in Romans 12, 6 to 8, even our health, our physical well-being, relationship, and children. Number one, time. What do we use our time for? How do we spend our time? Surprisingly, as if we don't know that we are stewards of God's, of what God has given to us, including time, we hardly have time for God. Hardly have time enough for him. But for other things, have time for pleasure. Have time for ourselves. But for God, some of us don't have enough time. But if you recognize that you are a steward and God has given you time, then you should give him a lot of time. Amen. Time to worship. I'm not even talking about Sunday kind of thing. You and God alone. Time for meditation. Meditating upon the word of God. Time for fellowship with God. Yes, koinonia, having fellowship with God. You can have fellowship with God. Yes, and also time to pray. Time to witness and time to visit or to care for one another. Time. If somebody is in distress and you visit that person, you have spent some time. You have invested time. And all these things we do is like we are having savings in our heavenly account. Amen. There's a heavenly account that we have, and we should invest our resources to enhance that account in heaven. Amen. As for time, let's have more time for God, brothers and sisters. It's very important because God has given you time. If you didn't know, it's God who gave you that time, and you have to manage it well. Don't say, I don't have enough time for God. I have time for my work. I have time for my business, but not enough time for work. It means you are not yet very prudent in managing the time because you allot time to all these things like reading the Bible, studying the Bible, having personal fellowship with God, praying, meditating. All these take time. Prayer takes time. Praise the Lord. For example, in this church, we have prayer lines. We have prayer lines. The youth, they have their prayer line. The men, they have their prayer line. The women, they have their prayer line. But I know about men's prayer line. I'm just giving you an example. When it comes to men's prayer line, the people I see regularly, they are mainly the pastors. So I begin to wonder, are the pastors the only men in this church? Brethren, let's have a change of attitude. There are so many men, even right here now, and there are many more. For one reason or the other, they are not here. Maybe they travel. No. That prayer line is for us. It's not for pastors. It's not dedicated to pastors. So we expect that you spend more time and bring it down to earth, because what is a message when it cannot affect your day-to-day lifestyle? It's my prayer that there will be a change and God will help us to prioritize our activities and give God enough time in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Yes, our heads in God's hand. Spend time for God, quality time for God. Talking about intimacy, somebody has said that friendship with somebody gives you favor, but intimacy gives you access. Friendship with God can bring you favor, give you favor. But intimacy with God gives you access to the secret things of deity. Amen. We are going to talk about some of those secret things. Yes, later. So, let us have enough time for God. Prayer time brings your spirit to a certain condition that makes your relationship and fellowship with God, with God's spirit, more real and synchronized with his will and purpose. When you spend more time with God, you begin to understand God more. Begin to know his ways and his will. And you begin to be more and more like him because you are spending time with him. Then his thoughts become your thoughts. And his words become your words. It reminds me, somebody said this. He said, induced magnetism. This is in physics. When you have a magnet, we all know what magnets are. Attracts, you know, metals around another. When an object, particularly a metal, is in close proximity with a magnet for a long time, even though the other iron is not a magnet, it gets induced magnetism. So that you can practicalize this even with razor blade and all that, a magnet, to attract that. They are an object you are brought close to a magnet and stayed for a long, long time. We also be able to magnetize blade. And you see what is happening. Induced magnetism. That's the kind of thing that happens when we spend more time with God. Become more like him. Become more like him. Feel like him. Temptation gets farther away from you. Draw near to God. And God will draw near to you. You've read it in the book of James. This is one of the ways. These are some of the ways. Through intimacy. Well, husband and wife, you know what intimacy is all about. Spending time together. But spiritually also, spending time with your maker. That's what we're talking about. Requires time. Please, don't deny God that time. He cherishes your fellowship. Amen. The more you spend time with the Holy Spirit, the more his person, his glory, his character, his wisdom and grace are revealed in you and even in your talking. Praise God. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit can bring increased spiritual guidance, knowing exactly what to do at any given time. Deeper understanding of the scripture, greater peace and joy, and it enhanced discernment, courage to face challenges, and ability to serve others more effectively by following the Holy Spirit leading in your life. Let's read 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. That scripture brings out exactly what we're trying to talk. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. From glory to glory, he's changing me. Changing me, changing me, change to the likeness of God and his Son. He's changing, changing me. He's changing, he's changing me. Change to his likeness eternally. Change to the glory, God and his Son is changing, changing me. Amen. So as we behold the Lord as in a glass, when you look at a glass, a mirror, begin to see your face. You cherish looking at your face and all that. Begin to stay in God's presence through meditation, through studying. You become more and more like him. You'll be surprised what God is doing in you. Some a change is taking place gradually, but it has to do with your intimacy with him. Barriers to intimacy. One, pride. Some people say, why should I stay somewhere in God's presence? Is it because I don't have money? We always think about need money. This, because I don't have anything I want to do, I can do it. Why must I spend time with God? Why? Pride, self. You have to recognize the God factor in your life, even your successes. Know that without God, you can do nothing. Praise God. Yes, so recognize that God is your source. So there shouldn't be pride. Some believe they have no need to kneel before God in prayer, but put their trust in themselves like Nebuchadnezzar and pursue relationships, accomplishments, and possessions instead of a deeper relationship with the Father. Charles Stanley is a man of God, said that. Praise God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. When you spend time with God, you intercede, you pray for people, pray for your needs and others. You are doing heavenly investments. You are laying up treasure in heaven. When you show kindness to the poor and needy, you are laying up treasure in heaven. When you are kind to orphans and widows, you are laying up treasure in heaven. These are some things we need to do as children of God. Some people are already doing that. God bless you for doing that. But it shows that your heavenly account will be fattened and increased. Praise God. Yes, we all have a heavenly account. So don't make that account to be lean. And then your earthly account is so fat. Please, let there be a balance. God wants you, you know, to spend more time with him. It pays off. The next one, the talents. What are talents? Different kinds of talent that God has given to us. Some have talents of painting. Just painting, yeah. Can do beautiful artwork, you know, to the glory of God. Some acting. Just acting, like play, like drama and all that. People can do that to bring glory and honor to the Lord, especially in children's ministry. Find that there are people who are very good at that. They use it to demonstrate or teach the children. Singing, that's very popular, perhaps the most popular. Thank God for those who sing, and today we're drawn to the presence of God. No, singing and worship bring God's presence down, the tangible, manifested presence of God. Amen. Sometimes when we are worshiping, you just feel, you forget every other thing. Personally, I felt the presence of God in this place when the praise team, the minister, we thank God. They are anointed praise singers. Amen. They are actually able to bring God's presence down. I just forget every other thing and you are in God's presence. In such climate, you receive from God, receive revelation, receive understanding, and of course, receive blessings from God. Amen. Yes, your talents, whatever talent you have, if you are good at writing, why not write about, you know, spiritual issues that can edify brothers and sisters? Yes, those who are writing, because they are talented to write. So use it. Everyone may not be equally talented in that direction. But you know your talent. Please make use of it. Don't hide it. So if you are good at writing, utilize that talent to the glory of God. Amen. Then treasures. Treasure has to do with finances. Yes. It is the Lord who has given us power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Am I right? Says it's God who has given us power to get wealth. So, whatever God has blessed us with financially, use it to the praise and glory of God. Use it for yourself, use it for your family, and to bless other people. It's not for hoarding. Your wealth, your financial acquisition is not for hoarding, and it's not only for self-gratification. You know, there are some people, they can afford certain cars, but they don't want to buy such cars. Why? Because they feel that there are other needs in ministry to invest money in such areas. That is one way of utilizing our treasure. Use it to promote the gospel. Missions. We are not missionaries here, but there are missionaries who go to places where the gospel has never been preached, and they take the gospel there. They encounter difficulties, challenges. There are people who just have that zeal, and they just want to do that, but they need support. We that are not going missionaries, then we should help, because there are three kinds of missionaries. The those who are in the field, the doing missionaries, the going missionaries, then those who pray to back up missionaries, second group, and then those who finance the missionaries, who finance missions. Three categories. Identify which one you are in, because the responsibility of preaching the gospel belongs to every child of God. The very fact that some people are more dedicated in that direction, they go on mission, lead their family, lead their country, possibly, you know, because of their commitment to God, and they need to be financed and supported. So even as I'm talking right now, if God lays in your heart a missionary or mission to support, please, by all means, do. Let me tell you, missions, when you talk about missions and missionary, you're not really talking about local evangelism, whatever, TV evangelism. No. We're talking about people who go to places where the gospel has never been preached. They go there, they labor night and day. Some of them, they get sick and all that. They need medication. They need all kinds of help you can think of. Do you know any missionary? May the Lord guide you as to how you can be of help to them in Jesus' name. Yeah, then you yourself will be a missionary, even though you are not there in the field, but by supporting them and also praying for them, you become one in identity. Then spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11 talks about spiritual gifts. Nine spiritual gifts. Then the other gifts in Romans 12, 6 to 8. All these gifts, especially the spiritual gifts, they are given by God. God is the one who gives them. It's not, I just desire this gift. Then you have it. Well, you have right to desire and to pray, but God gives to every man severally as he wills. He knows this is what you can profit with. It's just like the parable of the talent. We'll soon come to that. You know, God knows your capability. If God has given you the spirit of, maybe he gives you the gift of the word of knowledge, and by that you are able to know the needs of brothers and sisters. Even while you are just sitting, you just know there are specific needs and area and all that. And then you keep mute. You don't go to that brother, you don't go to that sister, but God has given you a revelation that will help that brother overcome a problem or challenge. Just keep mute. But you have the gift. No doubt about it, genuine gift. And then you keep on holding that gift. He keep on holding that gift. What happened? That eventually, you see, the Lord will raise other people who are ready to use the gift. So please, whatever gift God has given you, especially the spiritual gifts, they are targeted at helping the body of Christ. All those spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, they are for the body ministry, not even necessary for yourself, but for the body of Christ. It can be local assembly and it can be worldwide. Of course, God gives the five ministerial gifts to the body of Christ. But all these other gifts, they are also for the body of Christ. Praise God. So the other gifts, as in Romans 12, talk about gift of leadership. You are able to organize people. You are able to, you know, bring people together and all that. Use the same gift. God has given you health. Like God told me one day, I was ministering. were. And God reminded me about how he has given me good health. And then why? The reason was just obvious, so that I can do his work. Praise God. So if your health is not about just yourself, but that you use the same energy and good health to, you know, to promote the word of God, the gospel, period. Amen. Our relationship and our children. So our children, God has given us, and we are to take good care of them, bring them up in fear and nurture of the Lord. Now let's talk about the parable of the talents. In Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 30, there is a parable there that Jesus Christ gave us. It has to do with stewardship. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Yes. That is from 14 to 30. 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1, to every man according as his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2 talents. But he that had received 1 went and digged the earth and hid his lost money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I shall have received my own with usury interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that had none shall be taken away even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thank you so much. God bless you. Yes. This is the parable of the talent. It's to tell us about kingdom affairs, kingdom business. When the master represents God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those servants, they represent you and I, disciples of Christ. You know, the stewards. And when Jesus left us, what did he tell us to do? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. You know, teach them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you, even until the end of the age. That's what Jesus, that's the great commission that affects every one of us here. Every one of us without exception. Don't say I'm not a minister, I'm not a pastor. No, you don't have to be a pastor. Every one of you, I just want to underline that it pertains to you. If you have never realized that, please do realize today that you are not exempted. And you are going to give account of the talents and giftings that God has given you. Amen. There's a reckoning day of reckoning at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not for condemnation to hell, but for rewards. That's where people, they may have done so many things, but God will even look at the purpose, the heart, and the intentions. You know? And then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you read about that. Some build with hay, wood, and stubble. Some with gold, some with silver. So we have to be conscious of this, that whatever we have received, whether it is financial wealth, whether it is wisdom, you know, to solve problems, common day, you know, everyday problems and all that, that God has given us those gifts so that we can use to promote the work of God. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Occupy doing what? Occupy just sleeping, walking, or getting indulged in pleasures, which is good, but if you overemphasize that, then problem comes. God needs time and intimacy. Praise God. Yes, so whatever God has given you, he knows that you are a good manager. That is why he has entrusted so much to you. There are some of us who don't have so much finances. Maybe he has weighed and found that we are not as capable as managing the finances, and that's why. Possibly so. But if you got it, just know that you are a manager, you are a steward, and you are going to give account. Yes, no escape. And we are going to be rewarded. Revelation 22 verse 12, what does it say? Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. You are going to be rewarded for your labor. Everybody will not get the same reward. Maybe you be in God's presence in heaven, but everybody will not have the same position. Praise the Lord. Yes. There was somebody who had a vision, a man of God, about reward in heaven. And so when God showed him his soul reward, he was happy. Oh, that's my mansion. It's a vision the person saw. And then the reward of a lady was announced. And she has so many mansions, not just mansions, like this man of God. Mansions, extensive, all this for that lady. Then he was now saying, look, I am the great evangelist. I did this, I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that. How come that this woman, who is not even known, has greater reward than myself? And then he was made to understand that woman was even the secret behind his success in his ministry. Praise the Lord. So, even things that we do here, people don't see us, but God sees us and he rewards us adequately. He rewards our faithfulness. In stewardship, faithfulness is very, very important. Faithful to what he has given you and trade with it and make profit. We know how to make profit, invest money in business, and get, you know, turnover, good turnover and profit. Yes. Spiritually speaking, those talents he has embedded in you, he wants you to use it to promote kingdom business. You may ask yourself, since I became a Christian, how many lives have I touched? How many people have been converted through me? Truly, it is important to examine yourself. No guessing about it. It's very, very important to do so because you are saved to save others. You cannot save but through the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Amen. And we have been given that privilege. It's a great privilege. Angels have not been given that privilege because they have not been redeemed. Man has fallen and man has been redeemed. So we have the experiential knowledge and we know what it's all about. And so we can testify to people about Jesus. The angel that has not fallen, then you ask the angel, go and pray. Doesn't even, there are some things angels don't know that you know. Praise the Lord. So we have been greatly privileged to be given that responsibility of propagating the good news. In whatever ways, we should bring fruit back to God. We should be fruitful. If we don't bear fruit, you know what happens. If we don't bear fruit, God will hew down the branches that don't bear fruit. That is not our portion in Jesus' name. So what are lessons to learn from this parable? We are stewards, not owners. Number one, God gives us things to manage based on our abilities. We should avoid making decisions out of fear, like the servant who had one talent. He was afraid. Why? God has given you a gift. You are afraid to use the gift? Oh, he might take it from you. Please. I can raise up somebody else who can use that gift effectively. God rewards wise risk takers. Diligent service is the pathway to promotion. Yes, those servants who traded profitably, they were giving promotion. They were giving greater things to handle. God is good and never wicked. God rewards biblical stewardship. Amen. If you are faithful in little, you will be entrusted with greater responsibilities. That is Matthew 25, verse 21. As stewards, we are expected to be accountable, using resources widely and effectively. Two, we are supposed to be diligent and hardworking, have integrity, transparency, and being honest. Be prudent and not waste resources. Be faithful in all things, both small and great. Amen. We'll give accounts at the Bema seat, like I mentioned earlier. We are also stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 2. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 4, 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. That is one other thing that we are stewards of, mysteries of God. There is the mystery of God and there are mysteries of God in the Bible. The word, the Greek word mysterion, from which we have mystery, signifies something that was unknown in the past, but now revealed to certain people. So when we talk about mysteries of God, they are scattered there. They are out there in the Bible. They have been revealed with Jesus Christ dying for us on the cross of Calvary and through the preaching of the gospel by the apostles in the epistles. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, we are told that secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Secret things, mysteries. But those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may all do the words of the Lord. God's chosen people, the Israelites at that time, and also by extension, you and I today. Because we are Israelites of God too, spiritually. In Matthew 13, 10 to 11. No disciples asked Jesus. See, you always speak in parables to these people. Parables, parables, parables. Why? Why? What really is the secret? He told them. Why do I speak? Why speaketh thou to them in parable? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, in a circle, disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But unto them, not disciples, it is not given. Can you see that special privilege again that we have in Christ Jesus? To us is given the secrets of the mysteries of God. God revealed his secrets to his servant, the prophets, Amos 3:7. So there are secrets of God and he reveals them. Let's talk about these mysteries of God as in the scriptures. Number one, the mystery of the translation, rapture. That word rapture may not be in the Bible, but translation is very much there. And it means the same thing, to be caught up. Harpazo, from Greek word, harpazo, to be caught up. It's a mystery. And that's why the Bible describes in 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 55. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 55. Behold, I show you a mystery. It's mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die physically. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Praise the Lord. It's a mystery. We tell people that, oh, the Lord is coming to catch up his poor people. It looks mysterious to the uninitiated. So they say, those who are not Christian, they don't have the Spirit of God. What are you talking? They are going to abduct you or take you away or kidnap you. What are you talking? But that's the mystery, that God will certainly do that. Thank God there are two people like Elijah, like Enoch. They have done that before. They have been translated, and so it's not entirely new. But this time around, in the translation of the rapture, God is going to take up many of his children, possibly millions. I don't know the number. God knows the number. Praise the Lord. So it's a mystery. And we have been given to understand, as at now, to you that are Christians, not supposed to be so mysterious, but initially it was mysterious. And now God has given you understand that it is possible. Jesus Christ himself died, and he rose up again, glorified. And that body you cannot kill anymore. That body can appear, you know, through closed doors and all that, just coming without doors opening. That is the nature of the glorified body. It's a mystery. And we're going to have that body. This mortal body will put on immortality. It's going to be glorified. In your glorified state, nobody can kill you. Nobody can hurt you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And you can appear and disappear like Jesus did. Amen. Yes, so that's one of the mysteries. People should know. Jesus is coming soon. And he's really, physically going to catch us up. But that's different from the second coming of Christ, you know. Yes, because the rapture precedes the second coming of Christ. The rapture precedes the second advent of Christ. In the rapture, Jesus takes his bride with him to the air. He takes his bride. It's like we are magnetized to him. But in the second advent, he comes with the bride. Having been taken up to glory in heaven, he comes with them, with heavenly army, to judge the Antichrist system. during the Great Tribulation. So that's a mystery. Number two, the mystery of Christ and the church. Ephesians 5, verse 32. Ephesians 5, verse 32. Now, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's a mystery. The mystery, the relationship between Christ and the church. He is the head and is the cornerstone of the body of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. It's a mysterious body, the called out ones, the church. Christ is coming for a church, not coming for denominations. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to read many other scriptures, but I've just mentioned some of the mystery and tell you the importance of it. So that's the mystery of Christ and the church. The mystery of the kingdom. We said that. To you is given to understand the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of Babylon. There is a place, there's mystery Babylon in Revelation 17, verse 5. It's a mystery. When John was being shown this, say, I wonder, what is all this? Mystery, Babylon, the mother of harlots. That's a mystery. It tells you about the one world church that will arise at the end of the age. One world church made up of Christians, Muslims, pagans, Hindus, you know, and all that religion you can think of. Conglomerate of all false religions. That's Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is not just one denomination. Mystery Babylon is made up of all this organized one world church that is already formed. Not that it will be formed. If you are following the news, if you know what is happening spiritually, prophecies fulfilling, there's already that body right now. Very soon, they will want everybody to be worshiping with them and not mentioning the name of Jesus. They will take away this Bible, you know that. This Bible will be taken from us. And then you have the Antichrist Bible that will not contain, for example, John 14, 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They hate that. And so in that so-called Bible from the Antichrist, they won't have that and many other things. So mystery Babylon. Mystery of iniquity is the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. Then there's also the mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3, verse 4. There's also the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested. Let's read that one. 1 Timothy 3, 16. Mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. Some people don't think that God is three in one. Some people think God is three in one. But it's a mystery, and you have to have the correct understanding that God is one in three manifestations. God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. One God. It's God Almighty who came down as a human being, form of Jesus Christ. That's why it's the express image of the invisible God. If you see Jesus, you see God. He is the true God and eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have God. You may say, I have God. We don't have Jesus, you don't have life. No Jesus, no life. Amen. Yes, so. Yes, say, and without controversy, no argument. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest. God, the spirit, in the flesh, justified the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. That's talking about Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 1, you know that. John chapter 1 verse 14, you know that. Genesis 1 verse 1. So Jesus is everything, it's everything. You are not going to be accountable to two gods or three gods. One God. Praise the Lord. One God in three manifestations. Same God. Manifested as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Mystery of faith. There's the mystery of faith also. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ. Colossians 2:2-3. Mystery of the wisdom of God. You see, the wisdom of God is foolishness to the people of the world. and vice versa. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. And the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. That's one thing. The way of the world is very different from the way of God. So it's a mystery how Christ just, you know, how God Almighty who created the whole universe had to come as a human being, come and redeem us. The mystery of God. Revelation. 10 verse 7. I'll say something briefly about that before I round up. The mystery of Israel's blindness. All these are mystery. Revelation, Romans 11 verse 25. Thinking that, oh, Israel, they don't know God. How are they the people of God? In those days, we know when David was there. Yeah, but now, they don't know God. They are even promoting Antichrist agenda and all that, this and that. How come that you say they are the people of God? By covenant. If you read that scripture, Romans 11, 25, say, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. That's one of the mysteries again. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come. When will the fullness of the Gentiles come? When the bride is taken up to heaven. When the translation takes place. Then all focus again will go to Israel. For now, they don't know God, only very few. But then they will know God and become the center of attraction. In fact, Israel will become number one nation in the whole world. During the millennium when Christ will reign, yeah, Israel will be number one, not America. America may not even be there that time at all. Praise God. Yeah. So the mystery of the preaching of the gospel, Romans 16, 25 to 26, the mystery of speaking in unknown tongues, a mystery, something you have not learned before you speak in the heavenly language, mystery. Praise God. The mystery of the seven golden candlesticks. You can see the mystery. We just recounted the mysteries of God. There are 18 of them. Revelation 1, 20. The mystery of the seven golden candlesticks. Talking about the seven churches. The mystery of the delay in casting out of Satan into the lake of fire. Who wonder? Why is Satan troubling the whole world and God is just looking? What is happening? It's a mystery. It's a time he has to demonstrate all this. He has to deceive people and all that. But a time himself will be thrown into the lake of fire. So there's time for it. It's a mystery. You have to understand that. Yes, the mystery of God. Revelation 10, 7. This one viewpoint about that scripture. Say the mystery of God. When God shall begin to reveal himself. He said the mystery of God should be finished. What that means, the mystery of God should be completed. Completed. Finished. And what does that mean? That look, the man's rulership over this earth will cease and Christ will take over and rule this earth in the millennium. Revelation 11 verse 15. Let's read that one. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord. So, and that one is soon to end. They are going to revolt against God during the millennium. During the great tribulation. And especially when it comes to the battle for Armageddon and all that. And Christ will overcome the Antichrist system with the rapture sense. Praise the Lord. Amen. Principles of stewardship. God owns everything. What he owns is ours to manage. Amen. We will be held accountable for what he has given us to take care of. We are to invest and multiply our talents to the glory of God. Stewards are to be humbled and diligent. Rewards await diligent stewards. Stewards are expected to be faithful and render service to each other, helping one another. Praise God. It is his, God, to give. It is his to give. It is ours to manage. A steward should not be self-centered, but mind God's purpose. His purpose is our mandate. Even our children have been given to us to take care of and are responsible to bring them up in fear and nurture of the Lord. May the Lord help us to manage the talents he has given us, all that he has given, including time, to his own praise and glory. And before I round up, is there anybody who is listening to me and you have not given your life to Christ? That's the starting point. It means you don't have relationship with God yet. You are not yet a child of God. But you are a creature of God, because there's this one world religion language say we are all children of God. We are not all children of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, Jesus, he gave them power. He gave them rights. He gave them the privilege to become children of God. Amen? You become children of God by the new birth. If you are not born again, you are not a child of God. Oh, so I'm a child of the devil. I'm sorry, that's who you are. But there's opportunity for you to know God, even now, now, now. All you need to do, realize you are a sinner in need of the Savior. Jesus has already died for you. Just ask him to have mercy on you. Forgive all your past sin and make you a child of God. Pray with me now. Those who want to give their life to Christ online and even here, just say in your heart, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe that you were buried for me. I believe you rose again for me. I believe you are coming back again for me. I take you and accept you as my personal Lord and my Savior. Give me grace to serve you acceptably, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you say that prayer sincerely, that's the beginning of it all. God has heard your prayer. Go and sin no more. Look for a Bible-believing church and begin to worship God and serve in spirit and in truth. And at rapture time, may you not be left behind in Jesus' name. Is there anybody who is sick? Oh, this is a new month. Beginning of a new month. The Lord is here. Amen. If you are sick in your mortal body, receive healing in Jesus' name. Jesus said, healing the children's bread. Believe it. Without faith, it is impossible to get anything from God. Faith is our spiritual currency. So if you want healing, believe. Have faith that you are healed. It's what Christ has already done. Not that he will do it. He has already done it. It is well with you in the name of Jesus. Go and flourish in this new month and new week in Jesus' name. God bless you.